This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. The 11th day of February. Glad you are with us this morning. If you are south of downtown, Fredericktown, that area down there, you are very likely have some snow cover on the ground this morning. Maybe some slick roads because it's cold out there.
Sounds like in the Metro East as well, too. James says it's snowing in Collinsville.
Yes, but for the most part, north of a certain line, there's nothing. I didn't see anything on the way in this morning. We don't have any real reports of major traffic problems in the immediate metro area here for your morning drive. Tomorrow morning looks like that could be a little different. I've been watching the reports. They've all been hesitant to say how much snow they think we're going to get tomorrow. So this thing must really be, as usual, one of those situations where we're sort of on a line, and if it goes a little bit this way, it's one thing, a little bit that way, it's something else. But we're going to get to the expert, Dave Murray, who's been doing this for so long, he probably do it in his sleep. He's going to join us this morning at around 8:20, our official meteorologist from here, 97.1 FM Talk, and he will kind of lay it out for you. So if you can't listen in, be sure that that you at least check it out on the podcast. About 8:20, Dave Murray will be on with us. You can get the podcast wherever you download your podcasts and all that good stuff. So we appreciate that. We're up on all the socials for you this morning as well. Got a couple of Doobie Brother tickets. Don't call yet. But we do have a couple of Doobie Brother tickets that we're going to get to give away just a little bit later this morning. So be sure and stick around, and you'll have a chance to win those. We'll give away a pair every day this week. They just announced it yesterday, I believe. Yeah. And it's going to be at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And you'll get a chance to see them when it's a lot warmer than it is right now. Is Michael McDonald with them, Carl?
Yes, he is.
All right. All right, so it'll sound like...
They have a new album out, though, so...
Uh-oh.
There might be some new songs.
Stuff? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I that's not why people are showing up, but they want to hear all the old stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, let's admit it, that's why a lot of people show up for the those old band concerts, for sure. And they are. We can admit that. I tell my wife all the time, this may be the last time they ever go out on tour. I've got to go see them. I've got to pay $200 for that ticket, honey. Because what if one of them dies next year?
And that's what you hear.
Yeah, that's what I hear. She doesn't. It has no impact on her whatsoever. I mean, I go anyway. Don't get me wrong here, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get, like I mentioned, we'll get to Michael Butler a little later. He's running for mayor in the city. They had a big meeting last night about what to do on the roads in St. Louis, given the fact that it is wintertime, and occasionally we have this frozen substance that comes down called snow. Apparently it comes as a little bit of a surprise to the Mayor Jones administration, and they're trying to get in front of it this time. So we'll talk to Michael Butler, find out what he might have done different if he was mayor. We'll get to that at 8:08. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Saturday at 12, we want them all back. I'm speaking for myself. Israel can override it, but from myself, if they're not here, all hell is going to break out.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Donald Trump made it very clear that it's not his decision to make. But he did say last night that if it was up to him, he would probably end this ceasefire in Gaza unless all of the hostages are released by Saturday.
We are not going to sit around while you go ahead and desecrate our Constitution, or you look at the laws that have been passed into law and say, never mind, we'll just ignore that.
Ouch. Let me apologize for the nails on the chalkboard to your ears this morning. Can I just tell you that? That was Jasmine Crockett. The left wants to make her the new face of the Democratic Party, and I'm just fine with that.
And you're not worried that any of that's going to go back to the consumer?
It might, but it's ultimately going to be much less expensive. And the reason is because the United States has been too nice.
Yeah, Donald Trump, everybody wants to know, why haven't prices dropped yet? You've been president 3 whole weeks. It's like, just relax. First of all, we got to fight a few battles, but things are going to be great.
There it is. Pursuant to the authority of the Secretary of Defense, Title 10, United States Code, Section 113, I direct the Army to change the name of Fort Liberty, North Carolina, to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's right. Bragg is back.
Yeah, baby. Pete Hegseth, that's my Secretary of Defense right there. That guy is great. He was on a plane last night. I don't know. I know he was visiting some troops overseas. He was apparently he skipped out on a couple of defense meetings or something in Europe to go visit the troops. And on the way, he signed a new order renaming Fort Liberty back to Fort Bragg. Remember the Democrats did this because of political correctness? They decided we need to take any military installation that was ever named after an evil Confederate soldier, and we need to make it rename it. So Fort Bragg couldn't be named after General Bragg, who fought for the Confederacy and did a lot for his country prior to joining the Confederacy. It has to be renamed Fort Liberty so we can erase history. Instead of learning from it, we need to erase it.
Well, now it's named for a different Bragg.
I know that. I was getting to that, Carl. Thank you. You stole my thunder there.
Sorry, thunder.
So he renamed it just to screw with them a little bit because he knew they would all scream and moan and all that. He renamed it after Private First Class Roland Bragg, B-R-A-G-G, spelled the exact same way, who was a World War I hero who earned the Silver Star and the Purple Heart for exceptional courage during the Battle of the Bulge. And what a brilliant chess move by Pete Hegseth.
You sure you didn't name it after Alvin Bragg?
Very nice, Kim. But I'll give you one of those.
Thank you.
That was nice. Nice. No, he did not name it after that loser, but he did name it after another Bragg, and now it can still be called Fort Bragg. That's great. Now, maybe, heaven forbid, 4 years from now, a Democrat gets back in office, they could change all this, I guess. But in the meantime, he's going to go ahead and fix a few things. Trump's renaming mountains and everything else that were changed during the, just to be politically correct. So coming up here in the next segment, I want to get to this a little bit. Everybody was talking about the Anheuser-Busch ad during the Super Bowl, the Bud Light ad specifically. They did the one with the Clydesdale pushing the barrel of beer because he so desperately wanted to, the Colts so desperately wanted to be on the team, he couldn't be on the team, so he just rolled his own barrel of beer into town. And then they did a separate one with a couple of celebrities, again, trying to recapture the magic of Bud Light. Well, there's a new book out on the disaster, the PR disaster that happened at Anheuser-Busch by a guy who used to work there. And our friend Mark Reardon, I was listening to this interview yesterday in my car while he and Sue were on the radio yesterday afternoon. And I'm like, that's great insight from this guy who used to work there, who knew the lady that made this horrible decision. And I'm going to play you a few clips from that I got from Mark's show yesterday in case you missed it. I'll get to that coming up right after the break. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Show.
Grass.
Hell yeah.
I spent most of my money on this.
New rig?
Fully custom.
How many Bud Lights can you fit in that puppy?
As many Bud Lights as it takes.
A lot of Bud Lights. It's cul-de-sac's popping.
Bill, get off the boat. The HOA's already breathing down my neck.
So that was part of the Bud Light commercial they ran during the Super Bowl. You got a Peyton Manning appearance there. And is it enough, I guess, would be the question to try to... You got a 1980s song there in the background playing. Everybody's drinking Bud Light. They're partying. They're having a good time. Is it enough to change the damage Anheuser-Busch did after Dylan Mulvaney? And I think the answer is no. I think we all know that. But there's a new book out, and I thought this was pretty fascinating because Reardon got the guy on yesterday. Anson Frerichs is his name. He was a top executive at AB, and of course, when he was there, its biggest brand was America's best-selling beer was Anheuser. It was Bud Light. And the marketing was aimed at guys. Didn't matter who what their politics were, who wanted a cold beer and a good time. But the intro to his book, he writes this: but like many companies, AB InBev changed in the wake of George Floyd's death and the start of the pandemic. In a word, the company became woke, emphasizing diversity, equity, and inclusion and other social goals over profits and sales. And he said the culmination of that was the Dylan Mulvaney transgender activist campaign when they sent the guy a six-pack with his face on it. And it angered a lot of people, right? It lost its spot as the most popular beer, and it may never recover. And he's now written a book about this. And, you know, I thought he did a great job expressing this yesterday. Not that some of what he said aren't things that I've said about it over the years, but he was there and he's pointing out the horrible public relations mistake Anheuser-Busch made, like right from the start. And he wasn't there when this decision was made. In fact, he left the company because he wanted to do a promotion with Bud Light and Black Rifle Coffee, which, of course, is the coffee run by a couple of military veterans who started Black Rifle Coffee. And, you know, it's a pretty premium brand in and of itself. And the marketing team there, headed up by this lady who's in charge now, said no, that wasn't the direction they wanted to go. Well, and the rest is kind of history because he left the company, and then they made this horrible decision. Again, Anson Frerichs, who used to be a high-ranking executive at Anheuser-Busch, listen.
And I think what was like most telling about Anheuser-Busch's adoption of ESG and DEI is their response. And their response they had was equally as bad and equally as problematic, yes, as the partnership itself. You know, at first they released some PR statement saying how, you know, hey, occasionally we send milestones to people to celebrate important, you know, times in their lives. And people were kind of convinced or kind of confused by that. And then they went dark for about 2 weeks. The sales plummeted 10%, 20%, 30%. And then 2 weeks later, they issued a, it was this, I don't know, letter to America. And the problem with it was is that it neither acknowledged that there was a, what the situation was, why there was a problem. They didn't apologize to their loyal customer base for getting involved in this issue, nor again did they say that Bud Light was going to be Ben and Jerry's. They kind of just took this middle approach. And I don't know, I'm a fan of history. I like Teddy Roosevelt. He always said that, you know, when you're faced with a difficult situation, the best decision is the right one. The second best is the wrong one. And the worst decision is the no response at all or no decision at all. And that's kind of the approach they took.
Yeah, very true. Very, and it's, and of course he's written a book about it now. So, you can go read more about, what he's, it's called The Last Call for Bud Light, the fail and failure of America's favorite beer, and a cautionary tale of putting politics before profits.
That I know the marketing director or whatever her title was, I know she was let go. But don't you think that for Bud Light to make a custom can for Dylan Mulvaney, that someone higher up would have had to sign off on that?
I don't think so. I think I read at the time that they did have a part of their marketing department that would target certain people they felt could be influencers.
But to make a can, you don't think that anybody higher up?
No, it's not a can. It's just a, it's just a image that they painted on a can. It's pretty easy to do. I mean, it's like change. It's like printing a T-shirt. You can just change the graphic and enter it in the system, and it'll paint that picture on it instead of something else. So I don't think it was that big of a deal. But this guy's point was that they still, to this day, haven't learned their lesson. Listen.
And sales continue to be down and dwindling because the company hasn't gotten a hold of the situation. And they can do all the great commercials they want with Shane Gillis and Peyton Manning, but I just don't see the brand coming back with the current leadership and even the current ownership in place, given that they haven't been able to get a hold of this situation.
Yes.
For-
yeah.
Well, I'm just surprised that the CEO didn't step down.
Me too. And, you know, again, I've said this before. I have friends who work over there, and they will look you in the eye and tell you it's a conservative company. And I'll look at them and say, well, if they sure did a pretty good job pretending that they weren't, and you still got the same leadership up there. So I don't know. I don't know how you could make that argument with some of the really bad decisions that were made. Like, you're going to go to your grave defending this lady that has basically destroyed what your top brand. Unbelievable. All righty, coming up, we are going to talk to, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan, give away a couple of Doobie Brother tickets next hour. Stay tuned. I'm sunny Florida. Evan, how are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
Good morning. Just so you know, we're expecting several inches of snow here overnight, so I hope you're enjoying your sunny weather down there.
Well, we are. Yeah, yeah. We are expecting highs later in the week to be in the 90s in terms of the feels like thing, but that means it'll be in the 80s. In fact, we're supposed to have a high today of 83. Oh,
please be careful out there. I mean, you can get heat stroke or something. We're a little worried about
Well,
you.
We'll have to stay hydrated, of course.
That's for sure.
We had winter for a couple of weeks, but you know, which was long for us. But
I heard about that. Must have been rough. Hey, listen, what is this sheriff asking of President Trump?
Certainly. So Sheriff Grady Judd in Polk County, Florida, who's sort of like America's lawman. You've seen him on television before. It's between Orlando and Tampa. It's a rural community that has sort of been in the forefront of trying to stop drug trafficking and things like that. One of the problems is he's big fan of President Trump's. That's never been an issue for him. But one of the problems that he's running into right now is that they don't know who is on an ICE detainer or not until after they arrest someone. So if they have someone in custody, they update their lists to Homeland Security, and then they get back in contact with them, say this person has a detainer, we want to deport them, hand them over, and they very happily do that. But what they don't know is if they're pulling someone over in a traffic stop or stopping someone on the street, They don't know if that person is or isn't a someone subjected to an ICE detainer. And that creates a problem for them because the person that they're pulling over may know that they are subject to an ICE detainer. And that might make them desperate and do something really awful. That could put the deputy at risk. So if it's happening for Polk County's sheriff's office in Florida, it's happening all around the country. So that's something Sheriff Judd wants addressed, and he says it'd just be a matter of entering that information for ICE detainers into the National Crime Information Computer System. That's the thing where they could check if if you had an outstanding warrant, right, and they run your ID, they'll find it, but they won't find an ICE detainer, and that's what they want.
And that is a policy that was changed during the Biden administration. Was that information formerly in there, and it's not now?
I believe it was certainly policy of the Biden administration to not include that anywhere and to essentially to do what they could to make sure local police were not enforcing immigration law. So with the change in attitude with the Trump administration now, this is something that could happen to make things even easier and I guess a bit more safe. For local law enforcement.
Right, right.
You know, here in Missouri, we've been talking about how I believe our state will be one of the first in the country to allow police to start tracking the immigration status of anybody that they come in contact with if they're arresting them. Have you heard talks of that in Florida or some of these other states where they're trying to do the same thing?
Well, I mean, that's the issue. Once someone is arrested and in custody, then they have access to more information. It's the leading up to that point. So if there's someone that they are trying to, again, it could be a random stop or a traffic stop, or let's just say it's someone that they're trying to arrest on a warrant locally, they can't know in advance that this person could be wanted by ICE.
Right.
Until after they're in custody. So that's the problem mm-hmm. that they're having. And they want to know that information to make sure deputies know that this person could be a whole other level of desperate and might try something if they come into contact with police.
Can I assume they haven't heard anything back yet regarding a reaction from the Trump?
Nothing official that's been made public. I'm sure that, the Trump administration kind of wants to empower local police as much as possible with these tasks. Tom Holman, the border security chief, has said this as well. So I think it's just a matter of time for someone to say, okay, let's start doing this. But, I don't think there's going to be any pushback.
Very good. Eben, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
You bet.
Yep. Stay warm down there.
I'm trying my best.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Eben Brown from Fox News Radio. I didn't know that stuff wasn't in the system. How could that be? I mean, think of how outrageous that is as a member of law enforcement. Let's say, for example, what if they didn't have access to know that the guy they just pulled over, the person they just pulled over, the name they just ran in the system was wanted for murder
mm-hmm.
or was suspected of a violent assault on a police officer somewhere. Without being armed with that information, you're immediately at a disadvantage.
Right.
And not knowing that the individual sitting in the car may be desperate because they know they have an order of deportation and they assume that if you don't know it already, you're going to find out as a police officer that they should be detained for deportation, you're more likely to do something dramatic or try to drive over them.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy, though, that Missouri is one of the first states to allow police to report the immigration status? Because Eben was making the point that, well, really, they need to know it beforehand, which makes complete sense to me. But it doesn't even sound like that's available for Missouri law enforcement right now. They're just trying to take the first step of, well, can we at least track it after the fact?
If that hasn't changed, it's going to. I don't know how quickly that'll happen, but I'm a little surprised mm-hmm. if it hasn't.
It should. I mean, that you're right. That is such crucial information, and I would want to know that when I'm pulling somebody over.
It should be so easy. I mean, I would call it. It's basically a no brainer. I listened to an interview with Holman last night. I forget which show he was on, but he basically said, "Listen, what's happened here, and this is not breaking news." But it was intentional. everything that happened during the Biden administration, they could have been doing exactly what we're doing and getting people that already had orders of deportation. They intentionally ignored this information. So for all these people to act shocked that we're now out enforcing the law just rings hollow. What do you expect? If somebody's wanted for murder, there should be police officers out there looking for that individual. If somebody's wanted for deportation because an order's already been issued by a Biden-era judge, then what's your problem?
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Kid Rock cut his performance short at a Nashville event after the audience decided they didn't want to clap along. Appearing as a special guest at Bon Jovi keyboardist David Bryan's birthday party, Rock attempted to lead the crowd in a cover of Proud Mary, but grew frustrated with the lack of participation. After stopping the song twice, he stormed off saying, "You ain't gonna clap? I'm gone."
Wow.
He said a little something else too, but I can't
sure
say it
he
on
did. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Not fit for a broadcast, probably. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just childish, though.
I wonder why. I mean, it was obviously, were they mad at him, you think, or they were all drunk, or what were they doing?
They just didn't want to do it. I mean, come on.
Wow.
I understand you're mad and you stop short if someone throws something at
right.
you, because that's been happening, but you're just angry like a five-year-old because they're not clapping along with you. Get over yourself. Like, that's just the silliest thing I've heard. I have zero empathy for him.
The good thing is the band kept playing, so
good.
They finished out their set just without
a little temper tantrum. I'd love to know what was behind that.
5-year-olds, it happens with 5-year-olds.
Well, there you go. Allure 35A, owned by Motley Crue, singer Vince Neil was involved in a fatal crash at Scottsdale Municipal Airport. One person was killed. The jet veered off the runway and collided with a Gulfstream 200. Neil was not on board, but his girlfriend Rain sustained 5 broken ribs, and her friend Ashley was also hospitalized. Their dog did survive, so that was good. Authorities have not released the identity of the deceased. Neil expressed condolences, and Motley Crue plans to offer support in the investigation.
So let me tell you what irritates me about how this story was presented. The lead of most news organization was Motley Crue's jet involved in fatal crash.
Right.
Like it almost sounded intentional. But then when I read the story, the Learjet, which indeed was owned by Vince Neil, he wasn't on board, landed, the left landing gear collapsed, causing the plane to veer off the runway where it hit another plane, and it killed the pilot of the plane that had the problem. I mean, it was Vince Neil's pilot who got killed. And his girlfriend was on board, but I mean, other than the fact that he owned the plane, he had nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah. He has killed someone before in a car crash.
But he had nothing to do with this.
Right. It's his plane.
Isn't it crazy how we keep hearing about, I know this is a bigger deal, obviously, you know, well, it was fatal and right. Motley Crue was right. involved, all right. that stuff, well. But it's like, remember when they had the issue with like the window or the, no, it was the, what blew, was the door. Door blew off. And then we kept hearing of all these issues on planes where parts of the plane would blow off mid-flight. It's the same thing now. It's like horrific crash out of Washington, D.C. Then you had the one out of, what was it, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like they keep happening.
You
and
keep
you're like, are they happening
more,
or is it just because we're all thinking about it? And so every crash we're now hearing about nationwide.
Right. Yeah, I overheard some people mentioning that yesterday, like at a cafeteria where I was. They're like, I won't get on an airplane. I'm just going to drive. And I'm like, it's still the safest mode of transportation in the world, probably.
It is the safest, but I really have to remind myself of that because it can get kind of scary when there's a little bit of turbulence.
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but during Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show, did you guys see the protester that got on the field
with the flag? I had that story and didn't get around to mentioning it yesterday. He jumped up on the car and was waving that Palestinian flag, right?
Yeah, apparently he was part of the dancing crew, though, so.
How did he sneak a Palestinian flag?
He just had it in his, like, jacket.
So it was a small flag.
It was
pretty
good
size.
It's probably about that size, one right behind you. Yeah, and the thing about it is it went on for a while. Like, they didn't stop him immediately, and then they finally, when they did chase him, he ran out on the field and was flying the flag. I almost question whether or not Kendrick Lamar or somebody there knew that was going to happen as some sort of political statement.
The NFL said it was an act of unsanctioned
I'm sure it was unsanctioned.
Yeah. I was picturing a flag on a flagpole. That makes sense now. That he had just it holding folded the flag. Up, yes, that would be easy to hide into your outfit. That makes sense. Yeah,
I bet Kendrick Lamar didn't even know what was going on.
Probably. He might not have. He might not have. But the slow response led me to believe that somebody must have known, or they could have tackled him a little bit sooner.
And, you know, the security probably didn't. Oh, that might be part of the show.
Maybe.
Because they don't know.
It looks like Trader Joe's has imposed a purchase limit on 1 dozen eggs per customer nationwide due to the ongoing shortage caused by the bird flu. The restriction affects over all 600 locations and aims to ensure more customers can access eggs.
Good Lord.
Now, other retailers, including Costco's, have implemented similar limits. So be on the lookout. Your eggs are...
I am now an egg hoarder officially. Can I just say that? So I went to Schnucks yesterday and I bought a dozen eggs. They were $5.69 for the jumbo 12-pack, just a regular carton of eggs. And I got them home, and I realized we already had two other cartons at home that hadn't been touched yet.
Yeah, how many eggs can you really hoard?
Well, but I only bought them because I thought we didn't have enough, and I got home and found out we had too many.
Mark's new side hustle.
I overpaid for the eggs.
Toilet paper 2.0.
Coming up, we'll give away some Doobie Brother tickets.
Get more at 971talk.com.